Good morning. We've been going through the early chapters of Luke and seeing how John the Baptist was prophesied as coming. And today we are up to Mary visiting her aunt Elizabeth. We're not sure. Just an apology first, because this passage is all about pregnancies and babies and all that sort of thing, and who am I, a mere man, to... I've had two babies of my own, so I think it's okay. First, to read the opening part of that passage.
At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished."
Okay. Very often with Bible stories, we see them in kind of tableaus or graphic novels, strip cartoon things, because these things happen, and I think we're influenced by the great painters that paint these scenes, the Annunciation, and then Mary visits Elizabeth, and we don't realise that these were real people with real emotions and real actions that were happening in real time in their time, and so we don't sort of follow them through. We don't take them out of the door and walk them to the next part of the story. It just becomes little cameos, little tableaus. I think that as I'm an actor, I act anyway. I'm always thinking of how these things happened, how they worked out, and so I thought I'd do a little scenario and see what you think. This is a screenplay for this. So, the angel Gabriel appears to Mary and leaves her. She rushes downstairs to mum and dad. "Hey folks, I'm pregnant." And mum drops the dish that she was wiping up. Dad chokes on his cornflakes. And then he's putting on his boots. What are you putting on your boots for? "I'm going to sort out that rascal Joseph. He's got our little girl into this trouble." And they think, "No, but you men, you're always going to bull at a gate. Can't do anything right, can you?" But you've got to think about it. Well, we'll have to send her off to her aunt Elizabeth. Get her out of the way, away from the village, and then nobody will know. She can come back when the baby's born, everything's fine. No, I don't think it happened like that, actually. Because we read later on, when Mary was going through the situations that God had decreed that she should, we read that Mary kept all these things pondering them in her heart. She was someone who, she wanted to think about it. She didn't run and surprise her parents with the fact that she was going to have a baby. She wanted to think about it, reason it out. She wanted to work it out. She wanted to think about what the angel Gabriel had said to her. And so, I think that, that perhaps it was she who suggested that she go and visit, her aunt Elizabeth, because the angel Gabriel told her that Elizabeth was also going to have a baby, when for Elizabeth it was nearly impossible because of her age, and she was past childbearing age. But God was going to do that. It doesn't say what relationship Elizabeth was to Mary. It just says a relation. She was a relation. And most people think she was her cousin, that they were cousins. But if Elizabeth was not very old, but in those days, if she was older and Mary was younger, then maybe that relationship of cousin doesn't quite right. So I think that I like to think that it was her aunt Elizabeth. And so we read that she hurried to a town in Judah. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And again, it's not just, you know, the tableau kicks in. She's arrived at Elizabeth's house. She had to travel down some 60 or 70 miles. She wouldn't have traveled alone. Maybe her brothers went down with her. But it was her. She said, she wanted to think about it, work it out. And she said, I think I'd like to go and visit Aunt Elizabeth and for a little while. So she went down to this town in Judea near Jerusalem, because Zechariah was a priest and he had his duties in the temple at Jerusalem, and so he lived in a little town close to Jerusalem. So they travelled down 60 or 70 miles and entered Zechariah's home. And I don't think that it all happened, you know. She goes through the door and Elizabeth shouts out and she shouts in reply. No, I think, you know, she travels 70 miles and says, oh, come in. And first they wanted to welcome her into the home. Zechariah gave her a big hug but didn't say anything. And why is Uncle Zechariah not speaking? But don't worry, I'll tell you later. I'll tell you later. But first we'll show you where you're going to sleep, and you can freshen up, and then come down and have a meal. And so they came down to have the meal together, Uncle Zech and maybe her brothers and Mary and Elizabeth. And then they just caught up, general chit-chat, and eventually, as women do, they went into the kitchen to wash up. While they're in the kitchen, then Mary says to Elizabeth, I've got something to tell you. You may not understand it. You may not know what it's all about, but I've got something to tell you. She entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. I think that so there they were in the kitchen, washing up, and Mary says, I've got some news for you. And tells Aunt Elizabeth what's been happening with the visit of the angel Gabriel. And suddenly, oh, Elizabeth's baby gets an almighty kick. Oh, goodness me. And she immediately cries out in a loud voice, partly because of the kick, but also, blessed are you. And in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Because that news had reached John the Baptist in her womb, and he was just dancing for joy, because he knew that the mother of the Messiah had come to visit his mother. And so she says, but why am I so favored? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Did Zechariah tell her that their baby, the baby that was going to be born to them, was a special baby who was going to tell and go before the Messiah. Well, he couldn't have told her because he was struck dumb until the baby was born. John was born, but did he indicate that to her? I don't know. Did Zechariah tell her that their baby was to be the Elijah, heralding the Son of Righteousness that we read of in Malachi chapter 4, as it says that Elijah will come before the Messiah himself appears and will be the forerunner, the one who will prepare the way. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, or gave me an almighty kick, and blessed is she, says Elizabeth, who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. I'm going to come back to that last verse because I think that is a great message that is there. Because Mary goes on to, Mary then is inspired. She's filled with the Spirit. She begins to sing a song of praise and worship to God. It's called, you may know, the Magnificat. And that's simply because that's the opening word of the Latin translation the New Testament and the Bible Saint Jerome made in the late 4th century. Magnificat anima mea dominum. That's the only bit of Latin you'll get out of me. So Mary sang this song, and Mary said, I've asked Jackie if she would like to read the song. We can sing it.
And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he said to our fathers." Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Yes, after this, Mary was with her aunt Elizabeth for about 3 months, thinking about what the angel had said to her and what the angel had said to Zechariah, Uncle Zech, about the baby that was to be born to her aunt Elizabeth. And after about 3 months, then she was ready to go home, ready perhaps to to run downstairs and say, "Hey, Mum, Dad, guess what, I'm pregnant," or maybe not. But anyway, just to impart that news so that they could then begin to process it, so that Mary had time to know what was involved and how they should proceed. Because I think that particularly Dad, you know, because dads are all over the shop, aren't they, when you spring things on them. I think he needed time to work out what needed to be done. We haven't got time to go right through the song in any detail, but a few things. "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." Mary needed a Saviour. Some churches have taken Mary and imputed things to her that were not true. She was a human being. She was a young girl. She was someone who needed forgiveness for the sins that, that she committed. And although certain churches hold Mary in high esteem and impute more to her than is actually true, she realized herself, and she was praising, "My soul glorifies the Lord, my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour. For he's been mindful of the humble state of his servant." Why was she praising? Why was her soul praising and her spirit rejoicing? Because God had been mindful of the humble state, her humble state. Mary was not a Chelsea girl. Silver spoons weren't very evident in the house, in any sort of situation. So she wasn't born with a silver spoon in her mouth. She was a simple, small town girl from Nazareth. And she realized that, God had thought about her, even in her humble state. Because God is not interested in what possessions we have, what power we have, what influence we have. He's not interested in the kind of people that we are in that sense, outwardly, because his mercy extends to all those. He's mindful of the humble state of his servant, as Mary says. And that's that's a good thing for us to remember, that God is interested in us. There's a phrase, the great and the good, who are not necessarily the same people. God is God is not impressed by riches and influence and power. He's only interested in our relationship with him and how we stand before him and how we praise him. She goes on, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He's performed mighty deeds. He's scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He's brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He's helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. God is not impressed by the status of those who are proud. Proud of the level of society they've been born into. God is not interested in the position of the rulers and what they rule over. He's not interested in those who are wealthy. He's not interested in those with a lot of money, because is just interested and his mercy extends to those who have that relationship with himself. I think it's interesting that he's brought down rulers, lifted up the humble. He's filled the hungry with good things and has sent the rich away empty. It's kind of, he's brought down those who were high in their own opinion. He's lifted those who were low in their own opinion, to the level ground at the cross, because all of us stand on that level ground. There's that chorus that we sing, "Welcome to the place of level ground, welcome to the place where grace abounds." We all need mercy, and we receive it there at that place of level ground. But I just wanted to go back to the last thing that Elizabeth said, as we called it here. "Why am I so favoured? That the mother of my Lord should come to me. As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy, gave me a great kick, because the baby was dancing for joy that the mother of God as a man had come to them. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished, will come to pass. That word accomplished, the Greek word teleosis, And it means bring to perfection, bring to its destined goal. Blessed is the one, blessed are those who believe that what God has said, he will do. He will bring it to fruition. He will work it out. He said it, he will do it. It's the same word in John 19:30 when Jesus is on the cross and says, it is finished. He's not saying, it's all over. I've tried to live in a way to show people how to live for God. I've done my best. I've taught them. I've tried to make them see the way to live so that God will bless them. But it's all over. It's all over now. It's finished. He's not saying that. He's saying it's accomplished. What God had set out to do has been accomplished and is being worked out, accomplished and perfected, because on the cross, we know that Jesus didn't just come as a man and die as a man just to show us how to live a good life, show us how to die with dignity perhaps. No, he came to bear our sins in his own body on the cross, to take them down to the place of the dead, to rise without them, to go back to his Father in heaven, and to send the Holy Spirit down on his people. And he says, it's finished, it's accomplished. The work has been done. And we know that that God's great plan of salvation, God, under the old covenant, he gave men a way of getting into touch with him by taking an animal and saying, this animal symbolizes me. I'm going to kill it. I'm going to take its life. I'm going to shed the blood. And as a result of that, and offer the blood to God, because without the shedding of blood, we read, there is no forgiveness. But eventually, God thought, well, there's no other way. I've got to come down and be a man. Come down as a human being. And find out what it's all about. How living for God affects us. Of course, that's a bit of an irreverent thought because God is outside of time and he knows the end from the beginning. He is at the end. He is at the beginning. But the plan of salvation was that he himself should come down and take our sins on himself, on Jesus, on the cross. And bear our sins away and then go back to the right hand of the Father and give us his Holy Spirit so that we have the power to live for him. We are blessed if we believe that what God says to us, he's going to bring to fruition. And the reason that this verse struck me, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. It's because as a church, we're going into 2019, our 121st year, and there are going to be changes in the church. And we're going to need to know what God is saying to us. Because we can't believe it if we haven't heard it. Now, I want to end with a confession and a challenge. The confession is that I haven't managed to get along to the church prayer meetings every month for one reason or another. And I've recently decided that I have to do that. I have to come along to the church prayer meeting. Because that's the way we find out what God is saying to us as a church. And I came last month. Unfortunately, I came on the Wednesday, which the bulletin on the board said the prayer meeting was on the Wednesday. Gave Tuesday's date, but I know that it was actually Tuesday. But when I've come to the church prayer meetings, let's put it this way: the leaders of those church prayer meetings would be thrilled if more than 12 people, more than 10 people came. I think that if we want to know what God is saying to us, we've got to be in that position of asking him. And I think the prayer is bringing us into line with what God wants. I mean, the first part of prayer is sort of telling God what we want. And then eventually we have to stop telling him what we want and listen and just become aware of what he wants. And when we know what he wants, we then have to come to accept it. We have to take on his mind. It just reminds me of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. Lord, if it's possible, don't let me go through this situation. I don't want to die this death. I don't want, as a man, I don't want to go through with this. Nevertheless, it's not what I want. It's what you want. And Jesus, as a result, went through with it because he came to that understanding of what God wanted, and he was willing to accept that, to believe that what God said would come to pass. They say an army marches on its stomach. I'm sure someone must have said also, the church advances on her knees. And it's only as we come together to pray, to find out what God wants for us as a fellowship coming into 2019. And as we find out what God wants and bring ourselves into line with his thinking, then we have to believe that what he has said, he will do. He will accomplish it. He will bring it to fruition. Now I know that the prayer meeting times are difficult for some to get to. I mean, particularly on darker nights, some of the older people, you know, they're not happy to come out. And anyway, coming out late at night is not something that one does willingly nowadays because of so many situations in the world. And so I thought, well, perhaps the thing then is to, if we can't make it to the time that it is, make the time when we can. 8:30 a.m. Sunday morning, 2:30 p.m. Saturday afternoon, 6 o'clock in the morning on weekdays. It's just something I think we should be trying to sort out. A time when more of us can make it and can come together and can find out what God wants for the fellowship. Because there's no other way of putting it, we're going to need prayer in 2019. Because we're not sure what God wants. We're continuing the search for a senior pastor, and God has prepared someone for that role, and God needs to prepare us for someone to come in and take on that role. And so I think that it's just a challenge, a confession that I haven't in the past, and I am beginning to now, and a challenge to perhaps to find times when we can come together and pray and find out what God wants. Aunt Elizabeth said to Mary, the mother of Jesus, "Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished." God has said it. He will do it.